This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight until 8:45, leading you into the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli. Dan will join us next hour to help preview the Pirates and Diamondbacks tonight in Arizona. Mike Burrow's making his second career start for Pittsburgh. There was also a debut last night for the Buccos that we will get into. But right now, we are joined on that hotline by Steelers reporter Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. And Brian, before we get into any OTA talk, it was the first day of OTAs in the South Side. How about Terry Bradshaw a couple of hours ago going at Aaron Rodgers? Man, it doesn't look like old TB12 is going to let him wear that Pittsburgh 12 if he does end up here.
No, I don't think so. I did for a second think about trying to talk to Corliss Waitman today and see if there's been any back channeling for the number 8, but didn't get around to talking to him after OTAs. Yeah, Terry, just going right for the throat. I looked it up. I think they've got some history. I think this is not the first time the blonde bomber has not been a fan of Aaron Rodgers in his antics. But telling him to go chew on bark just reminded me of, like, Rocky Blyer's classic, "The Steelers suck" rant.
Yeah, I think he might also need to get in contact, Rodgers, that is, with Tommy Maddox and Kenny Pickett if he wants to wear the number 8. There's going to be some battles in town over...
Isn't that Melvin Ingram? Didn't he wear 8 for a hot second there?
Oh, well, good pull. Good pull there. Yeah, some legendary number 8s.
That backfired. They let Melvin Ingram basically be the first veteran or first player to take advantage of those relaxed number roles in... what was that, 2021 maybe? And yes. The preferential treatment, it did not satiate Mr. Ingram. It only made him hungrier for a bigger role.
I think Tommy Gunn is the best Steeler to wear that number, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, I would have to research that, but, I mean, I think you usually get him on the short list of top 5 Steelers QBs of all time. He's usually duking it out for one of those last spots, so... yeah, considering for a long time only specialists and QBs could wear it, I think he's got a pretty good claim.
So Aaron Rodgers obviously not there the first day of organized team activities because he has not signed with the team. At what point, Brian, for you, do you think this starts to ring some alarm bells of, hey, you know, this guy has to be here in order to have any success this season?
I mean, I think for me, the alarm bells are already ringing. I think it's already a sideshow for this team. I mean, these guys, I imagine, are kind of like us a little bit in what we do for a living, Donnie, and that they probably get questions constantly from family and friends about, are you guys signing him? What are the Steelers doing at quarterback? Is Rodgers going to be the guy? That would get annoying to them, I imagine. And then today, you know, you have us actual reporters there kind of asking, you know, taking the same line of questioning. So I think it's already sort of set up, fairly or unfairly, this dynamic or this perception that one guy is above the team and bigger than the team, which sometimes I think that's the case, but not for him in his current state and not for him in a franchise that he's never been a part of. As far as an X's and O's on the field standpoint, I think this time, I think Cam Hayward said it pretty well today. I mean, he was diplomatic, but he's basically like, yeah, this time can help, but he wasn't there the last couple years and he was fine. I'm sure there were a lot of past Steelers seasons. Ben wasn't there and they were humming. So maybe you can stretch it and say a veteran QB who's been there, done that, won't be needed until training camp. But again, that's really stretching it.
But does it make a difference when it is a guy coming to a new team? Like, yeah, he is a veteran quarterback. He's a future Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's never played for the Pittsburgh Steelers before.
Yeah, Donnie, I think it does make a difference. I think there are levels to it. I mean, it'd be one thing if he was a second-year guy coming back, like Kenny Pickett in 2023. Absolutely, you would want him there. But even in this case, he's a future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner, four-time MVP, but he's never done any of that for the Steelers. So, yeah, I absolutely think it's more significant that he should be here for this, but for whatever reason, I guess he doesn't think he owes that to this team.
Mason Rudolph was there, and he took the reps, and he talked to the media as if he is QB1, because right now he is. But how do you think he came across during the first organized team activity?
I think he came across pretty well. I mean, he's gotten used to dealing with these tough questions, Donnie. I mean, he's seen both sides of it now. He's been the guy that fans are clamoring for him to get benched for Duck Hodges. And fast forward, 3 years in his professional career, and he was the guy that a couple years ago fans were clamoring for him to replace Mitch Trubisky. Now, all of a sudden, I'd say his Q rating is as high as it's ever been. Popularity's back for Mason. I don't know about you, but when I just talk to random people, friends, people who know what I do, they're like, you know what, why don't we just roll with Mason, as in the Steelers? And I'm like, I get that a lot. So all that being said, he still understands that this nominal starting role or default starting role, whatever you want to call it, would be gone as soon as Rodgers shows up, assuming that happens.
Brian, have you ever seen the movie The Replacements?
That's one of my favorite movies, Donnie. I feel like I will pick up whatever reference you put down on that one.
So, I mean, this really is starting to feel like the Eddie Martell, Shane Falco dynamic. Like, we are going to eventually get Aaron Rodgers here. He is going to piss a lot of people off. He is going to do things where he thinks he's in the right, even though he didn't do any sort of prep work the entire offseason. And Mason has like that Keanu Reeves role of beloved backup. And I honestly think we're going to get to a point during the season where we start to get those chances for Mason Rudolph. I do.
All the way down to the playing style. I think Mason's pocket presence is, maybe not one of his strong suits. I don't know that we've ever called him Footsteps Rudolph, but rear view Rudolph. I don't know. But, yeah, I could see it. I could see it, especially – well, I mean, Mason's got the mustache working now. I assume Keanu Reeves has had that at some point in his career. We know he's had the goatee, but Mason has ditched the goatee. I'm not necessarily going to look that far ahead, Donnie, because – I mean, we're just trying to see if Rodgers shows up, and if so, when. But yes, I would acknowledge, and I think you're making a very good point, that he's already going to be walking into a situation that is much different than anything he's experienced. I think Jets fans were happy to have him a couple years ago. We know Packers fans were elated to have him as their franchise guy for a really long time. But this would be coming into a new city and a new fan base that, sure, a lot of people who are kind of bagging on him now will start singing his praises if he's wearing the black and gold. But no, I think there are also a lot of people who they've already made up their minds on Aaron Rodgers. They aren't real interested in him being the Steelers quarterback. And how will he deal with that? I don't know. Maybe at this point in his life, he's Teflon. It'll roll right off of him. But I'm with you, Donnie. It does kind of make for a strange dynamic. And then you didn't even mention you got the fresh-faced Will Howard, who might have more hype than both of those guys, rightly or wrongly. Probably wrongly.
Yeah, I mean, I also can't even like blame Howard. I almost feel bad by the hype he's getting. Yeah. I mean, the guy was picked in round six. We really have to temper the expectations here. I know he played for one of the best programs in the country, and he won a national championship. But I mean, come on, people. But either yeah. way, you know, how did he look in his first little glimpse?
He's he's new to it for sure. And it's kind of funny how quickly the script flips for these guys. Rookie minicamp, all eyes are on Will Howard. OTAs, he fades into the background, right? As do most of the rookies. I mean, even Derek Harmon, he wasn't so much a storyline. I don't think us media types were trying to track him down today. Same with Caleb Johnson. I mean, they those draft picks, they kind of get to be the big dogs that first weekend that they report for essentially orientation. And then when all the vets show up, it's like, okay, now you're looking around and you're like, this is the real thing. These are NFL dudes around me, and this is what I have to adjust to.
What is the ceiling with Aaron Rodgers at QB?
Cool. You know, I know there's been a lot of Kirk Cousins chatter today. I don't know if there even should be, but when you're in this quarterback desert, it's kind of just a natural thing. And he didn't report to Flowery Branch today with the Falcons. Love that facility dateline there in Atlanta. But I just think as much as Cousins would be less of a potential distraction and headache and, you know, inherent drama and all that, I think he doesn't have as much left in him as Rodgers does. So to me, there is sort of a threshold for which you can even start contemplating how much you want to deal with the off the field component of it all. As far as Rodgers goes, if he's got more juice left in the tank, if you get the good Rodgers that you saw at times last season with the Jets, and he can still swing it. He's still got a good arm. He can still make all the throws, and the mobility, I feel like, is, you know, it's there sparingly, sort of like a video game character. He's got the stamina bar at the bottom. Sometimes you probably have to wait for it to charge back up again before you can hold X down. But ceiling, maybe if everything breaks right, I could see 12 wins. But, you know, I think it's just more likely that you'd be looking at another 10 win season. That's probably what I would predict if he enters the fold here.
Do they win a playoff game?
No, I still don't think this is the solution to that or the answer to do that. Maybe it's the closest thing to it, but again, I just come back to the likelihood of that. Is it enough that you're willing to take on everything else that has come with this protracted pursuit now that is kind of made for, I think, some pretty bad optics for this team nationally and, of course, locally?
Who's going to be the second receiver? Is it going to be Robert Woods?
I don't know if they're going to have a pure second receiver. I did get I got a kick out of chatting with Robert Woods today. Kind of dawned on me just how long he's been around. I'm trying to talk to him about some of the teams he's been on, and I'm messing up where he was last year between Tennessee and Houston. And then he was, you know, I sort of asked him, like, are there any familiar faces to you here, Mason? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't play with Mason. I'm like, oh, my bad. And then he's like, well, there is 24. What's my guy 24's name? I want to say Ike, but I know it's not Ike. I'm like, yeah, Joey Porter Jr., who is in Ike Taylor's old
jersey.
Good
Lord, he's talking about Ike Taylor. I mean, that I think that should tell you all you need to know.
I know, and then I looked it up, and I was like, man, Robert Woods really did enter the league in 2013. That's hard to believe, and Ike was still playing, obviously, at that time. So I mean, he'll be a pro in the room, and maybe he'll rub off on those guys in a good way, sort of like Allen Robinson a couple years ago, but I don't think you'd be getting much more production than you got out of Allen Robinson a couple years ago, which, if you recall, Donnie, I mean, it was pretty much like, if it's third and two, you're happy if he runs a 3-yard out, catches the ball, and falls down to move the chain. So I think that's sort of where they're at with Woods. Best-case scenario, of course, would be Roman Wilson grabbing the bull by the horns there, but I just think it's more likely it's going to be kind of a committee approach, and you just hope the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
I hated your answer there, Brian, and I mean, and it's nothing against you, because I think that's just how this team is giving you the feel. It just tells me it's going to be 2024. Okay, so we replaced George Pickens with DK Metcalf. You might have a positive there in the 1-for-1. But you're doing the same exact thing you just did.
And it's early. I mean, I remember singing Van Jefferson's praises in training camp, and that went the other way. He was not nearly as efficient or dynamic as we thought we were seeing on the field of Latrobe once the real games began. But I'm pretty much with you, Donnie. And no offense taken. It's not me making the moves. I love the trade for DK Metcalf. I thought that was a wise and sensible big swing for the near term and the long term. But if I were to, you know, criticize some of Omar Khan's maneuvering here, I would just say, I think with the likes of Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson, they haven't really found that sweet spot between, okay, do you have two number ones that it's going to be hard to keep them both happy? Or do you have one number one and a bunch of number four guys? It just seems like it's been tough for them to find that, thread that needle, essentially.
And what kind of expectation is it even fair to have for Roman Wilson?
Yeah, I don't know. He talked today, and I feel like I can already kind of tell that it's going to be a long, 4 months for him, because he's going to be 3 months. He's going to be answering a lot of the same questions about how do you feel? Are you ready to contribute? Are you up to speed? For him, I think he just wants to turn the page, get to year two. He knows his rookie year was disappointing, and in some part, you know, through no fault of his own, he got hurt. What are you going to do? The only way he can change that narrative about himself, though, is go out there and make plays. So, and get people asking and talking to you about that. So whether he does that in OTAs or whether he really shines when fans are in the stands at St. Vincent, that clearly would be the best thing for him, not just on the field, but for everybody on the outside wondering about what he's going to bring to the table.
Talking to Brian Batko, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Is the offensive line finally looking the way it should? Broderick Jones at left tackle, Troy Fautanu at right, and then we already know the three guys in the middle.
Yeah, they finally got all those pieces in place and on the same page, where they're supposed to be, where they were acquired to be. That doesn't mean it's going to work. I think there's still plenty of development that needs to take place for really, you know, four of those guys. I feel like Zach Frazier he's pretty much already settled in. So it's really those other three, and especially we know the tackles, both of whom are going to be in new spots this year because Broderick Jones is moving from right to left and Troy Fautanu really didn't play at all. So I do still think you're flying blind a little bit with what you can reasonably anticipate from those two, but you also, if you're the Steelers, need to trust all the time and resources you put into evaluating those guys and now hope that Pat Meyer can coach them up and they're going to round into that unit you believe they can be.
At what point does T.J. Watt sign his new contract, and what does the number look like?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, you know, him, the last time he was in this, it was really close to week one. It was bumping right up against week one, and he was fine. That was the year he turned in the DPOY season for himself. Minka, they got done in June. I feel like they wanted to avoid some of the training camp leverage plays with him. I don't know. TJ, I'll say close to training camp. How about that? I'll say there's still going to be some give and take on both sides that needs to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if it gets done in the in-between. It's difficult when you have these high-stakes negotiations. And still, a guy that I think is commanding around $40 million a year and will ultimately get that from this team.
It doesn't sound like you're super confident that it happens before we get to Latrobe, though.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I don't want to sit here and say it's imminent and then, you know, Donnie, you'll tweet out my quote that it's imminent and everybody will be like, you know, dunking on me if he doesn't sign by the start of minicamp. I don't have a great feel for like how far apart they are. And sometimes I remember the Deontay Johnson year when he got his extension, it seemed like they were really far apart. The next thing you knew, a few days later, they ink it up and he's on the field at training camp. So I just think this is one where both sides have already been through this. They've been through it together. They kind of know that it could get uglier before it gets better, and I'm just not sure what that timeline's going to look like.
Do you think there's actually any chance that it wouldn't happen?
I'm not going to speak in absolutes and say no, but I would be very surprised if he enters this season on that same deal. I mean, I think there's always a compromise to be had for a player like that. And I think the Steelers value him and everything he brings. They want him to finish his career in a Steelers jersey. So I do think it'll get done.
Brian Batko, check out his stuff. reports for the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Brian, thanks for taking the time, my man.
Thanks, Donnie. Thanks for bringing up the replacements. That made my night.
Good. Happy to hear it. There we go. Brian Batko from the PG. Joel, I know that there's a near guarantee you have not seen the replacements, but a good football movie. Keanu Reeves. You have Jon Favreau in there. You don't know who Jon Favreau is, I'm sure, but you probably know who Keanu Reeves is.
Yes, I have heard of. I probably couldn't put name to face, but yes, I've heard of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he's been in John Wick, all those John Wick movies, Speed. That's an underrated action movie from the 90s. I think you'd enjoy the movie. 412-928-9370. If you want to join the conversation, you can also hit us on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have Joel's pick coming up at the end of the hour, but coming up next, we will hear from a couple of Steelers that met with the media earlier today, the first day of OTAs. That is next on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan weather. That is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Should be perfect in Arizona. Very hot outside. I think it was in the upper 90s today, just another day in the desert. But it will be around 70 indoors at Chase Field, a 9:40 first pitch between the Pirates and Diamondbacks. The lineup is out. We will get into that a little bit later on. By the way, the local weather going to have some rain overnight, temps in the 60s tonight into Wednesday. So not quite hitting that summer stretch yet, post-Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan until 8:45. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. Every time Joel and I work together, I like to give him some time to cook here. So Joel gets to pick the topic for this segment. Joel, what do you got for us?
Donnie, thank you as always. Joel's pick, May 27 of 2025. Tell you what, man, the Diamondbacks, anytime they wear those, their City Connect jerseys, they're like purple. But even just like the throwback jerseys with like the regular generic white jersey with the stripes, but the shades of purple on the sleeves, are those like just one of the more underrated sports jerseys? Not just Major League Baseball, actual like all of sports, any alternate jersey you can think of. Those purple, isn't that so underrated?
You're talking like the early 2000s era where like they beat the Yankees in the 0-1 World Series. Yeah, those are slick.
Randy Johnson with the perfect game or whatever.
Yeah, you got Randy Johnson, you had Curt Schilling, Luis Gonzalez had the walk-off, former Bucco Tony Womack had a huge hit in that Game 7 game as well. They actually had a really good set of unis in that era because I believe they also had like a black alternate where it was like a purple and blue Diamondbacks across the front, and then I think it was like a teal number on the back, at least the one I'm looking at here. The hat was good. The colors were good. The jerseys were good. Just something else that like we got into.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.